comes from Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read the first 14 verses. But we're actually going to concentrate on verse 14. So look forward to that, what the message of the angels was to us here in Muckinburden in 2017. So you got that, Dave, for us? Thanks.
Okay. So Luke 2, verses 1 to 14, the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth into Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all men on whom his favour rests."
Good on you, Alison. Just want to say thanks too for Alison and Stella and Dave for the music this morning. As you most people in Mucka know that I'm not a singer and actually don't like singing. Certainly I don't like singing Christmas carols, but gee, today's the new ones were pretty good, weren't they? Yep. I like reading the words. Rightio, here we go. Hands up those who still exchange a Christmas gift with their spouse. Okay. Tracy gives me one, but I don't give her one. Come on, get your hands up. Get your hands up. Rightio. Well, the next question is, guys, do you actually select the present for your wife, or does she buy it and give it to you to give to her? Because that's how it used to work in our family. Because no matter what I bought, it was not the right thing. Does that happen in any other families? Yeah, rightio. I was surprised that a number of couples that still buy gifts for each other. So my question is, now, have a think about it. What is the best gift that you've ever received? Over the years, what's the best gift you ever received? Who wants to volunteer something? Sue?
Friendship.
That's not what I'm looking for, but still, thank you. Skinny?
Well, I've probably received lots that have been fantastic, and I can't remember them all, but the answer we're looking for, I think, and I thought of it before. Today, when I got home from Perth the other day, I drove down my driveway and got this huge sparse tree right as I drive into my farm, and there's a penny farthing bike made out of wagon wheels that Derek had made and Dale had concocted. And the pedals go around and the handlebars move, and it's about so high. And then when I got into my pergola, there was fairy lights. I said, "I'd love some fairy lights on my pergola. That's just what I'd like." And I thought, Ham and Alan done that. And I said, "That's the best gift, because someone made it with love, and it was something that I really had not gone by or anything. It was just
You know what, I have not set her up. She's got no idea what I'm going to speak about today. She had no idea I was going to ask that question. And you notice the gift was from Derek and not from me. Do you know, I've actually done some really nice farm art. Well, I reckon it's all right. And this thing, this penny farthing bike of Derek's, is the best thing since sliced bread. So, righto. But thanks for that, Trace. Anybody else got anything they want to share? Al?
After divorce and all
Terrific, girl. This is what I'm looking for. Thanks. Anybody else? One more? Blythe, can't help yourself. Is Haig younger than you?
Yeah.
Okay. Can everybody hear?
A cousin of mine was living near Disneyland. We went to visit him. He arrived home drunk, didn't have a clue who we were. His wife was absolutely amazing lady. They had three beautiful teenage children who were older than Hayden Blythe at the time. And that lady had gifts under the tree for all of us. Now, she didn't know us.
Thanks. Thanks, mother and daughter, for sharing that. Graham, what have you got to say? You had to pay for it. Very good tip. Yeah, thanks for that. Righto, that might do us, I think. So pretty much the answers that I got were the answers that I was looking for. It's not necessarily the thing that cost the most was the best, that was the best gift, but more so the thoughtfulness that went into it. I was going to share mine, but I think we've got enough. Right. Righto. Okay, lunch will be a bit later. This is a gift that I've received, and it's a picture of, I was going to put it on the overhead, but I thought, no, I'll give this a miss. It's a picture, I think, of a header, I don't know. It's a pretty ordinary header, and cropping that, it might be a tractor, I don't know. But someone drew this picture, especially for me. Does anybody know who? Righto, let me read it to you. Dear Uncle Jeff, UNCKL, Jeff with one F. I am praying for rain, RANE. God blesses us and he gave us everything we need, so he'll give us rain, RAN, RAN. Our crops will grow, GROE. God will give us rain. God bless. You are a really good friend. Love from someone here today. Does that person know who they are? A little girl at the front. Love from Evie. Do you remember giving me that, Evie? You're a little girl and you couldn't spell that well. But I treasure that because when I start worrying about no rain for my crops, I look at this picture and I thank you for that. It's a special gift that you gave me when you're about 3 or 4 years old, so I do appreciate that. Thank you. Right. Let's move on. You thought it was going to be something that Tracy gave me, didn't you? Tracy generally gives me shirts and I like to buy my own shirts, so. Right. We're going to move on. Shall we just pray? Lord, I just pray. I thank you for your spirit that's directed me to prepare the words that it's going to be spoken today. We thank you for that. I just pray that there'll be open ears and that people will receive the greatest gift of all this Christmas. Amen. Right, so today obviously we're going to talk about the best Christmas ever, and there's no prize for guessing. It is the gift of the Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the gift God gave to us was a personal gift, especially for each one of us. And the gift, of course, cost us nothing, but it cost God the Father a great deal because he gave us his Son. Now, I can imagine that Jesus was very comfortable living in heaven, but God sent him to earth as a human to live amongst the corrupt, degraded, cruel, uncaring world in which we live. And he was sent with a job to do, to show us how to live, but foremost, at the age of 33, to die on a cruel Roman cross. Now, Jesus knew before he came to earth how despised he would be, even by God's chosen people. He knew that he was going to die on a cruel Roman cross. He knew that he was going to take the world's sin upon himself. And although he knew what was coming, he asked God the Father if there was any other way possible that could work, that he could get out of going to the cross. But we know that there was no other way. Jesus died an agonizing death on that Roman cross, and it was much more agonizing because he took our sins upon his shoulders. So if we accept God's gift of Jesus Christ, there is so many benefits for us. And probably the most quoted scripture is John 3:16, and that illustrates the greatest benefit. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life. Life that goes on beyond the grave. Living in paradise where there's no stress and worry and there's no tears. Well, hello. If that was the only benefit for believing in Jesus, well, that'd be enough, wouldn't it? But there are many, many more benefits of believing in Jesus. Forgiveness of our sin, an abundant life, peace with God, the peace of God. Peace with God, the peace of God. What's the difference? And this is what we're going to talk about this morning. Do you know there is 790 verses in the Bible that mentions the word peace? And this morning we're going to try and look as many of them as we can. I'm joking. Now, I haven't read the Bible through to verify whether that's true or not, but as in if you write a paper or an article and it's published, credit is given to those who have helped with the research. So I'm crediting Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, who says that he has actually looked at the whole 790. And Rick says that the reference to the word peace in the scripture can be categorized under three headings: spiritual peace, emotional peace, and relational peace. In other words, eternal peace, that's with God, internal peace, that's peace with yourself, and external peace, and that's with others, and that's a relational peace. So this morning I'm also referencing many passages from the Bible, and so I want to credit the Holy Spirit who's brought these passages to my attention. So 700 years before the birth of Christ, that's 700 years, 700 years, okay? Some of us are getting close to 70, 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah the prophet wrote the words of that last song we sang. We call it Judy's song, and thank goodness we only sung it twice today. It says, "A child is born for us, a son is given to us. The government will rest upon his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Now, what was the message of the angels to the shepherds on the field of that first Christmas day that Ali read to us? Luke 2, verse 14. "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." This was the gift that was promised when Jesus came to earth. So let's look firstly at peace with God, the eternal peace, the spiritual peace. And this is the most important, because we cannot have peace, the peace of God, without peace with God. So how can we have peace with God? Let's look at what God's word says. From 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says, listen to this, through Christ, God made peace between us and himself. And then we quickly move on. Are you up with me, boys? We quickly move on to Romans 5:1. Since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done. Please note here, we can have peace with God because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. It's nothing that we can do. We can't be a nice person to have peace with God. No, no, no. Romans 5:10 says, even though we were his enemies, God made peace with us because his Son died for our sins. Now that we have peace with God, we'll be saved for eternity by his Son's life. Now, a lot of religions have peace offerings to God. You've probably seen stuff on TV that I think the North American Indians used to do something to have peace. They gave a peace offering to God. Eastern religions still do it. But the Bible says that we don't have to make any peace offerings to God. Because, why? God has already done it. Hebrews 7:27, the last part of it says, Jesus sacrificed for our sins once and for all when he offered himself on a cross. So we don't have to make any peace offerings to God, because we can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. So it's pretty clear, surely, that belief in Jesus is the only way to have peace with God. So the second type of peace is the internal peace, peace within ourselves, the peace of God, a feel-good type of peace. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So you can see it's an internal thing. And prior to departing this earth, Jesus left a gift for us. Let's just see what this gift is. John 14:27 says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Have you ever heard of the word shalom? It's a greeting used by the Jews today, even today. Shalom means peace. So instead of like Aussies, we say, g'day, how you going? They say shalom. In other words, they're saying peace. Peace be with you. Now that word peace, the literal translation from the Hebrew into the English, means more than that. It means more than peace. It means a feeling of well-being, of harmony, happiness, serenity. Now, don't we all want that sort of peace? Now, I don't know everyone's circumstances here today, and I don't know if you've had an absolute magnificent, wonderful year, or maybe you've actually had a pig of a year. Maybe you've had a death in your family. Maybe someone close to you has and still has a serious illness. I just don't know. You might be tired, you might be fatigued, you might be run down, you might be worn out, you might be stressed out. But let me assure you, the peace of God is there for you. It's a gift for you to take. So God has a peace for every circumstance. He has a peace for every problem. So if you're brokenhearted, he has a comforting peace. If you feel ashamed or unworthy, he has a forgiving peace. If you're just worn out, he has an uplifting peace. When we're in the mire, we have a choice. We can go on using our own resources, or we can trust God. One leads to more stress, the other leads to peace. Let me emphasize, you cannot have the peace of God without having the peace with God. Just prior to Christmas, a few years ago, Rick Warren's son committed suicide. And he had been struggling with mental illness for 27 years. Now, Rick describes that day as the darkest day in his life, the darkest day he had ever experienced. He said, "I certainly had no desire to sing Christmas carols about peace and joy. I had no desire to wish people the peace of Christmas." But Rick knew internally there was a peace that was overwhelming even in his darkest hour. There was no logical reason for him to feel an internal peace. Rick was experiencing the peace of God, which passes human understanding. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it says, "Don't worry about anything." And you know, there's a lot of commandments in the scriptures. You know, don't kill, don't honour your mum and dad. I reckon this is the hardest one to obey. Don't worry about anything. "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him. If you'll do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far greater than the human mind can understand. Because His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Now, the word "guard" used here is a military term, the same word as used when the Roman guards were instructed to guard the tomb. So His peace will guard your hearts and minds like that. The third kind of peace is the peace we have with others. It's a relational peace. Now, as this is a general rule, you can tell those who have a close relationship with God by their relationship with other Christians. You see, the further we are apart from God, the more difficult our relationship with others becomes. So, gents, if you want to have a close relationship with your wife, have a closer relationship with God. Because the closer that you're getting to God and she's getting to God, the closer you are together. The more you're out of whack with God, the more you're out of whack with mankind or other people. Now, I've got scripture to support this principle, but I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to dwell on this external peace because I want to summarise the importance of being at peace with God or having peace with God. That's the important bit. And this is the greatest gift that we can receive this Christmas. And this gift is not available in a pill. It's not available in a bottle. It's not available by self-help schemes or programs for stress relief and that sort of thing. It's available in a person. The person of Jesus Christ, the babe that is born on that first Christmas day in Bethlehem. It's a spiritual peace, a soul peace, a much deeper peace than the physical rest and peace. In Isaiah 26, speaking about God, it says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." But if you want this gift, this Christmas gift, you've actually got to take it. You've got to receive it. Has anybody here been skydiving? Brave fellas. I heard of a bloke who wanted to experience the feeling of jumping out of a plane with a parachute and parachuting to the ground. So he did the workshop, as you blokes probably have done, how to jump, how to pull the ripcord. He watched the video, what to do if something possibly went wrong. He was ready. He went up into the plane. He went up in the plane. But when it came the time, he couldn't or wouldn't do it. He wouldn't jump. He wanted to experience the exhilaration of floating weightlessly through the air, but he wouldn't jump. So he ended up going back to Earth or back to the ground in the plane, in the airstrip in the plane. Perhaps that's you today. You desperately want or need the peace that exceeds what the human mind can possibly imagine, but you need to step out and say, I believe that first of all, I need peace with God that's only available through Jesus Christ, and I want that gift this Christmas. It's our practice at Maka Church of Christ to partake in communion every week because it helps us to focus on the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he means to each one of us. The announcements by that shepherd on that first Christmas day that Jesus was offering peace on earth to those that please him is available to everyone. So if you want to have that peace, or you already have that peace, then I invite you to participate in the communion. So can I get the guys to hand out the bread, please? Shall we just pray as they're handing out? Father, we owe you so much, and we can have the peace. We can have peace with God through you. All we have to do is extend our hearts and say, yes, I'll take it and thank you. These emblems help us to remind of what you have done for us. So we thank you for them, and we pray that each one that takes part today will be blessed by you. In Jesus' name, amen.